From NPR News, this is News and Notes. I'm Farai Chidea. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration has had a permanent commissioner for just 18 months of the last 6 years. Now E. coli found on vegetables have some asking for more oversight from the agency. And there's new trouble. Five experts who advise the FDA says the agency doesn't protect Americans from unsafe drugs that hit the market. Dr. Kurt Furberg is one of the panel members. He's also a professor at Wake Forest University Health Sciences. He joins us from Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Dr. Furberg, good to have you on the program.
Thank you.
Also with us, healthcare and business journalist Fran Hawthorne. She wrote the book Inside the FDA, The Business and Politics Behind the Drugs We Take and the Food We Eat. She joins us from New York City. Fran, welcome.
Thank you for inviting me.
So, Dr. Furberg, you're one of the experts on a panel that published findings Monday in the Archives of Internal Medicine. Tell us a little bit more about the recommendations that you had.
Well, I think a lot of groups have looked at the FDA and the FDA's performance, and there's general agreement about the problems. The agency is not protecting the public. And the recent report from the IOM had certain recommendations for how to correct the problems. We agree with those, but we go a step beyond the IOM report by...
That's the Institute of Medicine?
Yes, Institute of Medicine. And placing more blame on Congress for not taking appropriate action.
So give us very specifically, you know, I understand that one of your key criticisms is that there's no mechanism to withdraw faulty drugs from the market if there is the FDA doesn't really have that power. Is that correct?
Well, I think the FDA does not have authority, say, to change the labeling without approval by the manufacturer. So if there is a desire to put in a black box warning alerting the public to harmful effects of a drug, the manufacturer has to agree to that. And that leads to unnecessary delays in getting black box warnings and also to a wording that is less direct.
What is a black box warning?
Well, it's a black box. It's a black box that's put in the package insert that tells the user that the drug is potentially harmful.
So would that be in a case where a drug is potentially harmful and they should not take it, or a drug is potentially harmful and they should just be aware of side effects?
The latter. The drug is still on the market, but it alerts the user that the drug can cause often very serious adverse events.
Fran, how do you make sense of this current issue? A lot of people have been focused on E. coli and the vegetable, the food part of the Food and Drug Administration. Now we're talking about the prescription drug side. And there's been, you know, for example, a lot of focus on the relentless marketing of prescription drugs in television to people who may or may not understand exactly what's the side effects listed are. Is this something that is a new issue or an issue that's coming to new light?
Both. The FDA is constantly sort of being criticized, you know, from both sides. It has a tough job because it is caught in the middle between people who are very ill and want new drugs and people who have suffered horrible side effects from drugs that are on the market. You know, you can go wrong both ways. And whenever you have a tragedy or a dramatic incident such as the withdrawal of Vioxx, the pressure intensifies. And then you raise the issue of the advertising on TV, which didn't exist until 1997. That is when the FDA first approved this kind of advertising. And the criticism has been growing in recent years because, in fact, I think this is one clear case where the FDA was wrong. It really dropped the ball. When it approved the ads, it could have been much tougher and required that, you know, the warnings be clear. It could have said no fuzzy pictures, no loud music, you know, don't make this like any other ad. Make it a scientific announcement. It could have done anything, and it didn't. It basically wimped out, and kind of the drug companies can do almost anything they want.
Is there any public pressure from, you know, I guess, consumer groups? I mean, is this an issue that is a banner that's being taken up by groups, or is this still kind of under the radar?
The advertising, there's become growing criticism, and I think that one reason was Vioxx. Vioxx was at one point the most heavily advertised drug in the world, and so what happened was that people were taking it who didn't really need it. And these are a lot of the people who then have suffered heart attacks and are suing the manufacturer. And in fact, the drug companies themselves are seeing the pressure. No, they're not stupid. And they have been toning down their ads. If you watch TV, it's fascinating. The commercials are a little more sober. They are less flashy. And I think that's a good thing.
Dr. Furberg, we put in a call to the FDA for response, and we haven't received one yet. But has the FDA responded to you or the panel since you published your findings?
No, they have not. I've seen quotes in the Washington Post. I think they agree with many of the comments and take issue with a few others.
Tell us a little bit more about the panel you were on, a panel of five. What was your role in because you were advisors to the FDA, but you were not FDA employees?
Correct. We served on an advisory committee on drug safety and risk management. So we've been to meetings at the FDA to give advice on particular drugs, but I would say that we have not been used to the extent we had hoped, because there are safety issues with all drugs, and we have been involved in just a few of those cases.
One of your recommendations was to give the FDA more direct legal authority to pursue safety violations. What exactly would that mean on an operational basis?
Well, what happens at an approval hearing for new drugs is that safety issues often come up. And there's a suspicion of harm, but no conclusive evidence. And typically, industry will then commit to a study to determine whether the drug is safe or not. So these so-called post-marketing safety studies should be conducted according to commitments that the industry makes. But unfortunately today there are 1,200 unsatisfied commitments by industry to do these studies. And the FDA has really no authority to go after the violators, the companies that just ignore their commitment to give us safety information. So what we are proposing is that we need to do something about that, put pressure on industry, and one recommendation is to accept what's called conditional approval. So a drug would be approved for a limited period of time during which safety studies would be done. If the studies were not done, the drug would be withdrawn from the market.
That would obviously give them incentive to actually deliver that safety information. And would that incentive, you think, have to come from congressional action? I know you presented your findings to Congress, or would it come from within the FDA, you think?
The FDA can't do it on its own, and that's why we are asking that Congress get involved to give FDA authority to go after violators of various kind, and also give them funding so they can put more effort into carefully monitoring the safety situation of drugs.
Fran, I know that you've covered healthcare and business for more than 20 years, and your book Inside the FDA opens with some painful testimony regarding drugs and children. Can you just give us an outline of some of the issues you covered in that section?
Okay, sure. Some of them, of course, we've been discussing now. The question of how does the FDA decide, you know, at what point is a drug too dangerous to be approved? At what point do the side effects outweigh the benefits, or vice versa? You know, as Dr. Furberg, I think, was saying, you know, all drugs do have side effects. Those are some of the issues. Another issue, of course, is, the advertising we talked about. Another issue is the fact that science is changing so rapidly, you know, with so much happening in genetic engineering and nanotechnology. You know, how can the FDA keep up? The drug companies have so much money that they're pouring into research and lobbying. Can the FDA scientists keep up with what's happening out there, or get steamrolled by presentations from industry? So those are some important issues. And then food, I do talk about, you know, food as well in the book, because the FDA has even less authority when it comes to food. You know, with a drug, no drug can be sold until the FDA gives it approval. With food, it's the opposite. It goes out on the market, and it's only after there's a problem that the FDA comes in.
Dr. Furberg, very briefly, we're almost out of time. If you were a patient who needed a medication for a certain symptom or disease, would you take a new drug, or would you wait to see how its safety record was?
I would wait for a year or two, unless there were no other treatment choices. But for most medical conditions, we have a lot of choices. I'll stick with the established ones and wait with the new ones until we know more about potential problems.
Dr. Kurt Furberg is a member of the Drug Safety and Risk Management Advisory Committee. He's also a professor at Wake Forest University Health Sciences in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. And healthcare and business journalist Fran Hawthorne is author of the book Inside the FDA, The Business and Politics Behind the Drugs We Take and the Food We Eat. Thank you both so much.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome.